Let us pray. God, we are thankful for your presence in our lives and ask in Jesus' name that as we continue to worship you this morning, that you would speak to our hearts and minds. God, that you would cause us to hear your still small voice. And Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, my God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I couldn't believe it. It happened to me. This past week on Tuesday and Wednesday, my hamstrings, oh my goodness, they were so sore. The kind of sore where it affects how you walk, how you sit down, oh my gosh, and how you stand up. It was painful. Ouch. I couldn't believe how sore they were. Now, I've been walking over the course of the last few weeks during the morning, mile or 2 miles. I'd even walk backward for about 20 paces just to change it up. But I didn't think that this was causing me the pain I was feeling. And then it dawned on me Thursday as they started feeling better. The soreness wasn't because of my walking routine. You see, last Sunday afternoon, in the warm sun, I commenced to ridding my lawn of those beautiful yellow dandelions. I took my trusty dandelion tool out of the garage and commenced my work. I ended up with at least 2 grocery bags full of dandelions. Now, if you've never used this special tool before, you slide it down next to the shaft of the dandelion and you pull it back out a little bit, and then the little fork at the end, you push it down and the dandelion pops up. And for me, I would use the tool in the right hand and I would bend over and grip that dandelion and try to pull it out root and all. Working with the tool was easy. Pulling up the dandelions, not a problem. So I bent over much of the time pulling these dandelions out of the ground, and it stretched those hamstrings. For almost 2 hours, they were stretching. Now, the funny thing about this is on Monday, I hardly noticed any soreness in the morning as I went for my walk or even throughout the day. Oh, but Tuesday and Wednesday, that was a different story. That any activity on Sunday would have such an effect on me like that, where it would impact me, it would be prayer. Prayer is very much like this. I'm not referring to the pain, but the activity of engaging in prayer on one day can have an effect days later. Not just in our lives, but in the lives of others. Prayer is not meant to be just a spur-of-the-moment thing with God, but is meant to be an ongoing conversation between us. But someone might ask, well, how do you pray then? For me, for many, we engage in prayer at a time of need, either for ourselves or for someone else we care for. But this shouldn't be the basis of our prayer time. God desires to spend time with us just in conversation, maybe even over a cup of coffee or tea each morning. But instead of conversation, it seems like our prayer time is just a stream of words pouring forth out of our hearts and minds out to God. It truly becomes a one-way conversation. I wonder how God constantly feels, or how God feels about constantly listening but rarely being heard. As Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he stated, we shouldn't pray to be admired by others. We should spend time in a quiet place. Jesus calls it an inner room, where we can spend some quality time with God. Jesus tells us to pray to our Father in heaven, who is unseen but will reward us for our time spent in prayer. And Jesus' last take on prayer has two aspects. Read the first one with me. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Prayer isn't so much about what we say or how much we say, because it's not in the amount of words that God will choose to listen to us. In fact, the second part of this scripture reminds me that God does hear us. Read it with me. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before. Does that make sense to you? That God knows everything. He knows what you need, even before you ask. We don't need to babble about with our words, but we do need to talk to God plainly. Yes, about our needs, about the needs of others, but there is so much more to prayer. Sure, you could look at the scripture and say, well, Pastor, if God knows what I already need, why do I even need to talk to Him? Because God's not a genie to be called upon when we have needs or wants or desires. You see, God is wanting to have an ongoing relationship with you and me for us just to talk about our day. To ask God maybe how we should enter into our day. To spend time getting right with God and seeking God's advice for our very lives. So it is more than about airing our dirty laundry to God. You know, as a parent, we often know in advance what our child needs, even before they ask. But in a relationship, there's a give and take. Talking and listening, asking and receiving, and just plain being together. So don't babble on and on. Jesus says, talk to God and listen to God. Hear from God through His Word, through that still small voice that the Holy Spirit has inside you, who nudges you, who prompts you from the inside. Sometimes we call that our conscience, but it's actually the Holy Spirit saying, are you sure you should do that? The second aspect of how to pray is simply this. Ready? Pray Scripture. Pray Scripture. Pray Scripture back to God. You know, we sang to God this morning some Scripture. Where two or more are gathered in His name, He is there. We validated to God this morning that when we come together as a community of believers, where two or more are gathered in Jesus' name, that God is present with us. God is present right now. Receiving your worship. Or maybe receiving your inattention. See, that's worship's work. Worship is work. It's real work. It's not lifting something, but it's focusing on God and it's paying attention to God and it's listening for God. So when I tell you God is present with us, I'm standing on the Scriptures. I know it's true. And I'll share three more Scriptures with you as we prepare for communion in a few moments. Two of those Scriptures will remind us that we are forgiven. That we are forgiven when we confess and turn from our disobedience to God. Now, we had a movie, War Room, a few weeks ago, and in the scene from the movie, Elizabeth Jordan has been learning a lot from Miss Clara about prayer. At this moment, she's in her prayer closet, her prayer room, her war room, crying out loud to God for her husband, who is playing with fire. And as she's crying out, she sees this reminder on her wall of Scripture as she's talking to God. And then of all the things that could happen, she acts on that Scripture. Let's watch it together.
Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. I'm not as judge you are. But I'm asking you, please, please don't let him do this. submit to God. Resist the devil. And he will flee. Jesus is the Lord of this house. And that means there's no place for you here anymore. So take your lies, your schemes, and your accusations and get out in Jesus' name.
That scripture that you use comes from James chapter 4. Read it with me. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. And I have prayed this scripture many times, especially when I initially gave myself back to God. When temptation comes my way, I know I need to submit my life to God and depend on His protection, depend on His way. I need to give God the glory and not depend on my own strength, and not to depend on my own strength. So I resist the evil one who panders for my allegiance to him when I choose to be disobedient to God. So I can say out loud to the evil one, according to Scripture, I resist you, devil. And Scripture says you must flee. And guess what? He does. Because he's got to hold to Scripture. The evil one leaves. How about you? Wouldn't you rather live a righteous and powerful life instead of one where you constantly struggle with sin? Wouldn't you rather live a life that's pleasing to God and not live a life that's pleasing to the Father of lies? Wouldn't you rather experience more joy, more peace in your life, even in the midst of trials, rather than unhappiness and anxiety? Don't you want that? then what are you going to do? When Jesus goes on to teach his disciples to pray, he teaches them what we know today as the Lord's Prayer. And so when we pray the Lord's Prayer, what are we doing? What are we praying? We're praying Scripture. And so like the James 4:7 verse we just used in the video, we can use the Lord's Prayer to talk to God. We can use it either word for word or as a model, where we expand on the words following the Lord's Prayer as a model to pray to God. And in the upcoming 8-week Bible study on the battle plan for prayer, you can learn practical ways to pray Scripture and to pray to God. But you have to be willing to invest. You have to be willing to take time, because it just is not going to happen. Doing the same thing will not change your prayer life. But making a space for God will. And it is important in your lives. And by joining with others, you can learn and make changes together and be encouraged. Another scripture that comes to my mind, Jesus says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. So when I'm not bearing fruit, or I don't feel like I'm bearing fruit for God, I have to ask myself, am I a branch that's still attached to the vine? And if I'm not attached, if I haven't spent some real time with God lately, then I know why I might not be bearing fruit for God. How goes it with your life? Are you still attached? When I'm feeling anxious or worried, I need to pray the scripture Paul wrote to the Philippians. When he said, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, listen, the peace of God which transcends all understanding will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. When I'm feeling anxious, I need to pray that scripture. Because then I know God is going to give me peace in anxious times. He will guard my heart and my mind in Christ Jesus. And it happens. Friends, apart from God, apart from God's word, apart from spending time in prayer, either in an inner room or in a solitary place, what can we expect to change in our lives? We can't. It's only with the power of the Holy Spirit inside us and the Word of God beside us that we can hope to be the people of God that God wants us to become. We must strive, friends. We must strive to continue to become and be transformed into the image of Christ. When he was in the wilderness and the devil tempted him, what did he use to combat him? Scripture. He quoted Scripture. And Scripture and prayer are the main avenues that will help us to change, to help us to become more like Christ. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee. Submit yourself to God is the first step. I just love this quote by Flora Whitmore. And the doors we open and close each day decide the lives we live. I've used that over the last few weeks. So my question is, what life are you living? What life do you want to live? What's the difference between the two? What doors do you need to open in your life? And maybe what doors do you need to close? Levi was the most hated person in his family. In fact, in his community, he was hated. Nobody wanted to do anything with him. Nobody wanted to be with him. They didn't even want to talk to him or acknowledge his presence. But along comes this guy who seems really tight with God. He invites Levi to walk with him and join him in learning how to really live a life with God. and for God, and how to draw near to God. Levi throws this banquet for Jesus and invites others who have been far away from God. Jesus comes, Levi follows. Levi would eventually write about his encounter with Jesus the Messiah. We know it today as the Gospel of Matthew. I don't know what kind of work God has in store for you. I don't know what kind of jobs God wants you to do before you leave this life and go to our eternal life in heaven. But what I do know is it includes the regular practice and worshiping of God as individuals and as a community of faith. I do know it includes the regular practice of meeting with God in prayer, as well as having an ongoing conversation with God throughout our days. You see, God is not done with you yet. God has more in store. But it's going to begin by submitting yourself to God, by praying Scripture. Gosh, there is nothing more powerful than Scripture prayed. Submit to God. Submit to God. Resist the devil, and he must flee. Amen? God, we ask in Jesus' name that you would give us a vision right now of what our prayer life can become as we submit our lives to you. God, that you would show us that place where we can meet with you day by day by day, where our time is not rushed or hurried, but is rich and relaxing. God, where we can speak to you and we can hear you. Give us a vision of what that looks like. And help us to see how you can change our lives to be more transformed by the renewing of our minds, by the use of Scripture in our prayer. God, by just being with you. We ask in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.